Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. If you'd like to follow along in the pew Bibles in front of you, it's on page 149, starting at the very bottom. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading, as it has been nearly all summer, comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Today we'll read Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. If you'd like to follow along, you can find that in your pew Bible on page 15. Hear this story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me! Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I stood there in the shallow end of the swimming pool, and as I looked way in the distance, down at the deep end, I saw my dad in the distance. Seemed like a long way away. And I was shivering. And it wasn't only because the water was cold that morning. Well, I heard my dad call out, Edgar, give it a go. I know you can do this. Well, I had gotten myself in that situation. For so many weeks, I had bragged to my dad about what a good swimmer I had become, and he called my bluff. He said, Tiger, I bet you can swim from the shallow end to the deep end all the way in one breath underwater. And so, if you know the dynamics of my family, I had to take that challenge. But as I stood there in the shallow end, I wasn't so sure about my bravado. Give it a go!
he cried. So then I took the biggest breath my lungs could hold, and I plunged my body under the water, and then I opened my eyes through the chlorine blur, and I pushed off against the wall feeling just like Michael Phelps, and I stroked for all I was worth. Well, my guess is for many of you, this scripture reading is familiar. You've heard it many times throughout your life. And even if you've never heard this scripture, my guess is that there is something with which you can relate in this story. Because I believe it's a story about people interacting with Jesus, interacting with God, with their faith, people interacting with fear. Now, just as every time you open the Bible, you need to think about the context of this story. And if you think back about last week when Logan so wonderfully read Scripture, you'll remember the story of Jesus in that deserted place with the crowds on the grass where he fed the 5,000 people. You know, 5 loaves, 2 fish, everybody gets fed, they have their fill, the apostles clean it all up, and they got 12 baskets of leftovers. Well, the thing that we may not remember is that if we go back before that story, we find Jesus in the fishing boat trying to go off by himself to spend some alone time with God. So when we come to the beginning of the scripture for this week, we find that Jesus finally has that opportunity to go off alone. And so what he does is dismiss the crowds. And as soon as he has dismissed the crowds, he says to the apostles, "Get in the fishing boat, head off across the Sea of Galilee, because I'm going to talk to my Father." And dutifully, they get in the boat, they sail off, and we begin what is that perilous story on the Sea of Galilee. Well, if you look into Scripture a little more closely, if you look at the original Greek, you discover that in the middle of that night, the apostles found themselves about in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It says something like 60 to 90 stadia. So they're way out in the middle of this body of water. And what you may not know is that the Sea of Galilee is actually a very huge lake. Imagine Salt Lake in Utah. And in similar respect, the Sea of Galilee is below sea level, but the hills that surround it rise up 1,300 to 1,500 feet. Now, what that means is that there's sort of unpredictable winds. The temperature can change very quickly. Winds can build up and storms can occur on that sea almost in a moment's notice. But I don't think this is the part that scared the apostles. A good chunk of those people were fishermen already. They knew what it was like when a storm brewed up on the Sea of Galilee. But they were out there. The wind was going against them. The waves were cascading against the boat. If we read a little further into the Greek, we find out that they were on what's called, the time period was the fourth watch of the night. Now, the way the Romans figured, from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., that 12-hour period, they divided it into 4 watches for the centurions and the soldiers. So the fourth watch of the night was that time period between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And as the apostles are being buffeted in the early wee hours of the morning, they look out across the waves and see this ghostly figure coming toward them. Now, if you go back to the Hebrew Bible, to the Old Testament, you discover that the only person who had the capability of walking on the sea, because he proved he could do it, was God. And what you also may know is that in those times, the sea was a place of monsters and devils. And you were pretty much in a fearful situation. If you were out in the tossed waves and the blowing wind, and you see this ghostly figure coming toward you, they were afraid as well they should have been. And they cry out in their fear. And Jesus says, "Do not fear, it is I. Everything's going to be okay." And it turns out that the words he uses to describe himself are the same Greek words that mean God or the actual presence of God that we read in the Hebrew Bible. Now, the original audience of Matthew's gospel was a church undergoing persecution. They understood that we were talking about God, even though it seems that the apostles didn't really get it. So then we have that classic interchange between Peter and Jesus. Peter looks out and he says, in almost a challenge, he's almost challenging Jesus. He is speaking out of faith, but he is also speaking out of fear. And he says, Lord, if it really is you looking all ghostly and weird out there, command me to come to step into the water, to walk toward you, because I know that if it is you, that can happen. Peter was always trying to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus says in almost a matter-of-fact statement, there's no exclamation point in our translation, he simply says, come. Jesus is walking over the waves. Peter is freaking out trying to prove that he's a disciple. And Jesus simply says, come. So he does it. He steps out of the boat. Can you imagine that? He steps out of the boat onto the water. And lo and behold, he's walking on the waves. And he's walking toward Jesus, this ghostly figure who the apostle knows is their Lord. And he's focused. But then as Peter steps, he steps across the water. He is distracted by the wind and the waves. He loses focus and he starts sinking and he says, Lord, save me. And all Jesus need do is reach out his hand. Peter's hand touches his. They rise up in the water, step gently back into the fishing boat. The wind dies and the sea calms. Now, for the other 11 in the boat, as if feeding 5,000 people wasn't miracle enough, the fact that this guy shows up in the waves, he walks on the water, they realize it's the Lord. The Lord invites Peter to come. Peter is saved by Jesus. He calms the wind. And now finally the apostles recognize that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Well, as I mentioned, this was an important story for the early church, the Church of Matthew. They were under persecution. And as they wrote the story, we hear it in the 21st century. And often we think it's a story of rebuke. A story that says to Peter, you know, if you'd only had a little more faith, you wouldn't have done that sinking thing. We kind of get all righteous and high and mighty and say, if I had been there, I would have had enough faith and I could have walked right up to Jesus. But you know what? I believe that Peter had monumental faith. Peter and those other 11 listened to the Lord who said, go ahead, guys, off through the lake. I'll catch up later on. You continue with the ministry that I've set you upon. They're out there rolling in the sea and Peter sees Jesus come and Peter has the guts to say, Lord, let me walk and I will come to you. And Peter has the courage to step out of a wonderful boat that works, that keeps you afloat. He steps out onto the water and walks to Christ. I believe it is an absolute story of faith. And that's how the original hearers heard it as well. Their church was being persecuted. And the people of Matthew's church heard this message and said, you know what? We know that Jesus is the Messiah, even though other people are saying other things. We know that our faith is strong. We know that we have the monumental faith of Peter, and we have the guts to do what it takes to follow Jesus Christ. And I believe that's exactly the message that God wants us to hear this morning in this church. Because God has called all of us into ministry. You've heard it a lot. The United Methodist Church is all about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, if that's not a scary prospect, try getting in a boat in the wee hours of the morning and sailing off into a storm. Because that's what we're about. But the thing we need to remember is that when we allow the Spirit of God to fill us up, there will be times when we're out there pushing ourselves through the level of discomfort, when we're trying to help people, when we're trying to work on Habitat for Humanity, when we're trying to visit the sick and the lonely and those in prison, when we're trying to feed the hungry, that we will find ourselves stepping out of that boat of comfort and actually walking on the water. The Spirit of God can allow us to do things we never thought possible. But here's another thing I guarantee. We are human. We are only human beings. And in that hyper-focus, in that following of Jesus Christ, we will become distracted. We will become scared. And we will revert back to our old ways where we follow the call of the secular world. And we will find that we start sinking. But the other truth is that we have each other. That we have God leading us. And that even in the worst of times, all we need do is call out, "Help me, Lord," put our hand out, and God will always be there to lead us. I can promise you that. Well, I was pumping as hard as I could through that water. I knew in my mind that what my dad had said was true. I could do this. I could swim all the length of that swimming pool from the shallow end to the deep end with just one breath. But I wasn't quite so sure. The chlorine was burning my eyes. I looked down and saw the lane markers painted in the bottom of the pool, and I got scared. I looked up and could see my father's hand reaching out to me, and I freaked out. I popped out of the water, gasping for breath, and reached out my hand and grabbed the hand that I knew so well, and I was safe and sound. "It's okay, Tiger. I know you can do this. You'll get it next time." Jesus says, "Come."